Okay, this is Wednesday evening, 6/26/24. The title of it is In It to Win It. Philippians chapter 3. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of faith, God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. With us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Paul had the attitude that nothing in this world, there was nothing in this world worth compromising his relationship with God. There's not many people on the earth today that I believe, or any that I know, except us, that seem to be, we want it all. Just like Paul said, he counted everything as dumb. As dung to attain what Christ had for him. And he said he had lost all things. And so we're looking for the prize. What is the prize? The prize right here in the Strong's is an award. But there's a price to be had for it. You know, we have to make the decision. If we're in it to win it, then it's going to require something of us. We're assured victory, but we cannot afford to go the way of the flesh and win the prize, but by the Spirit. All right, we're going to look at some more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Most people in the church today, they go to get something. They go to get something, not give something. Get something. It's always about bless me, bless my family. You know, I need. And I don't think that's the right way to come. Or the churches I've been in, that's what it was always about, meeting people's needs. Yeah, I know that you meet people's needs, you pray for people, I understand that. But I think general consensus is we give nothing to this church, but we want you to pray the prayer of faith, and if you don't do it and I don't get it, then you're a heretic. Think about that. All right, 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, be not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. See, it's all about with Paul as an ambassador to the gospel. That was his aim, was to try to meet them where they were to get them born again. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. The prize is a reward. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body under, or keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he's talking about gaining the prize here, but he had a price to pay. He had to keep his body under. The world is out of control. And even Christians, they're not taught too much about maintaining control. You know, they may try real hard and fail a lot, but Paul's telling us here through these passages how he attained that. I mean, he gave his all to the gospel. He spent his hours. He said, I speak with tongues more than you all. He did what it took to win the prize. All right. Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think what I'm trying to say in this teaching is this. A lot of people will do all these things to get their answer for what they need for themselves, but will they do it for the plan of God? See, God has a plan. And all of us, he wants us to be in it to win it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See, Paul was used to this. It was his norm. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be deceived. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. See, these are people that they do not count the things of God as precious. See, when you're sold out, you count the things of God as the most precious. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he didn't want to pay the price for the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard it entreated that the word should be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So many people today say it's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard. It's so hard. Well, you know, Scripture says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Why is it so hard? It's because they're used to walking in the flesh. They're carnal. You have to learn to come out of the carnality and walk in the Spirit. Here's a simple illustration. I remember one time somebody telling me that they worked in an office and they had to wear suit pants every day and everything. And over the summer, they didn't have to work, so they just wore loose clothes. And she said, I couldn't even get in my pants when it was time to go to work in the fall. Why? What happened? Because here you are wearing loose clothing and your flesh just has its way and just relaxes and it just all hangs out. But whenever you're under constrictions, you rein it in. That's just the analogy the Lord gave me. Yeah. Keeping the flesh under to win the prize is what I'm going to look at. Paul wrote this about his dilemma. He was having a dilemma between the two. This is Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. The flesh gets to screaming long, you know, loud enough, most people react. All right, chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as so long as he liveth. But the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the boldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I should do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore no known condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now I want you to get the analogy of the clothes I told you about. Dress clothes keeps you looking sharp, keeps everything reined in. The loose clothes, everything hangs out. Just keep that in mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Most of my Christian life, well, we were all in the flesh. There's very few that ever walked above. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, when the flesh gets in the way, you don't hear. You're not clear to hear from the Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be, we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that these sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So here's the answer to this dilemma. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How do you learn to walk in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to take hold with you and begins to teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to whom who is the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So what's God doing this? No longer through the flesh. Just doing fleshly religious things. That's not going to do it. Now the Holy Spirit's within us to do that work. It's where it's going to be accomplished. Now I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just like the temple was just an outward show and works that could not bring righteousness to the hearers, or however it's worded. But what happened when God moved within is when the real work began. All right. Spiritually, we had to put up the loose ways and put on the new clothes. All right, Galatians 4. It's by the Spirit. If a person will make it a primary goal in their life to pray a lot in the Spirit, like we're told to, renew their mind with the Word of God and pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin to change them into the Son of God that they're called to be. All right, Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we've read this many times. This right there, verse 16 of chapter 5 there. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it gives you the long list here. 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's how we come out of the works of the flesh here. And it goes on to talk about all these works of the flesh. It's by the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit inside. Because we can, in all of our flesh, try to be a better person. Try to do the right thing. But the best we can do is struggle at it. But the Holy Spirit, he transforms you into the Son of God. All right, it's hard for some Christians because they're still carnal. They're in that in-between state, kind of like Paul struggled with in chapter 7 and 8 right here. Let's read just a few scriptures and we're going to be finished here. Romans 7:14. We kind of read that a while ago, but I'm going to touch on it again. Just that one scripture, Romans 7:14. Coming out of carnality. He said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin." Yeah, 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, if the mind's not renewed, it's like it's against God. Your mind's against God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you're in the flesh, if you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That's the key. All right, now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." See, a lot of people get born again, but they never come out of the babyhood stage. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase." In other words, God is doing this. We're not to get our eyes on men and exalt them. Look to them. "Well, I'm of Copeland. I'm of Hagen. I'm of whoever. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase." They're just vessels. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward." See, we're in it to win it. "According to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." In other words, whether what you did was in the flesh or you followed God in the Spirit. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." All right, the carnal man fights with flesh and blood. But the spiritual man fights with his spiritual weapons, which you know this one very well, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Our weapons are not flesh and blood. This is the only way you can win. Right here, 3-5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." This is the problem right here. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see right here the difference between the flesh and the spirit. All right. In it to win it. This is how we win it. Stay out of the flesh and move in the spirit. Two more passages and then we're going to be done. Hebrews chapter 9. Paul talked about how he beat his body up. You know, he treated it roughly. You know, he just tell it to shut up. Take someone that's learned to, that's a hardened soldier, that's learned to walk in the Spirit to do that. Then verily the first one, 9:1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances, a divine service and a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. Now over it, the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, it could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come on high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but in his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what it's about, man. Dead works. Coming out of dead works. Following the Spirit. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ will once offer to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. All right. He made a way for us by the Spirit. It's up to us to stay out of the flesh and to move with the Spirit. Like Jesus, whatever he, you know, his mother said, whatever he says to you, do it. We have to have that same attitude. We have to say, Lord, we're not moving. We're not doing a thing till you say do it. That's the place he's getting us to. And you know, when you do that, when you walk, you step out on what God says, peace makes the call, and it's like a platform of stability, and you'll never look back and you'll never doubt yourself ever again because you've learned to move with the Spirit. God knows all things. There's not anything he doesn't know. He knows the end from the beginning, and so he never fails. So he can be counted on. And that's the purpose of us learning like we have, to put down the works of the flesh, the things we're used to just doing ourselves, just doing this and doing that and hitting and missing and all that kind of stuff. No. God wants us to ask him about everything, and I believe he'll tell us exactly what we need to do, and it'll be good. We're in it to win it. I want to walk in the Spirit like Jesus did. How about you? All right.